This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the evening edition. Lynn and Uma with you, 6:39.
Don't lie to the people.
Tricked you. No, 6:39 in the evening, and we're taking a look at the news. Our next story is about graft, but before we get into that, we've still got some messages about minimum wage.
Yes, so earlier a number of people, I think, felt pretty strongly about the fact that it is insufficient. But we have Pat weighing in saying that a lot of people look down on 50 ringgit, but used wisely, it can be a big help. It should be sufficient for 1 month's grocery shopping, or perhaps enough for a meal for a family of four at a coffee shop.
All right. Well, I agree with that, Pat, but I don't think we were looking down on the value of 50 ringgit.
No, I think we're talking about the value of the workers.
Correct.
It's a different sort of, I guess it's a different way of looking at it, but
absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, our next story takes a look at graft, or electoral graft, if you will. An Orang Asli village head from Pahang has told the election court that Barisan Nasional candidates contesting in the Cameron Highlands parliamentary and July state seats handed out a total of 2,100 ringgit to six village chiefs from various settlements to support them during the last general election.
So this happened a few days before the May 9th polls. And before we get into the nitty-gritty of it and basically how gross and dirty it kind of feels, I want to say that the description of how they came to do it is really just kind of deeply cinematic, because apparently MIC's C. Sivaraja and UMNO's One Rosti, One Ismail came into our villages to campaign on May 6th with helicopters. And there's something about that image that's really quite striking.
So this is an old tactic.
It is. It's an open secret, right? I mean,
the helicopters as well.
Is it?
Yes. So,
oh, wow. It will work on me, huh? I don't feel good about that.
So from, this was many, many elections ago. And journalists covering the elections, I used to do some work for the New Straits Times, and they used to tell me stories at how in rural areas, people would throw goodies out of helicopters.
You know that it's a very festive thing to do, isn't it? It's kind of like a t-shirt cannon.
Yes.
For some reason, no matter how crappy the t-shirt was, it fired out of a gun. I'm into it. And this was part of a testimony in an election petition filed by the DAP's M. Manogaran, who is seeking to nullify the Cameron Highlands general election result on grounds of massive vote buying. And I suppose, like we've been talking about, it's just one of those things. I've been hearing stories like this for ages, I'm sure. Most of us have heard of this before, but this was in court.
And it's in the past, I guess, electoral issues haven't necessarily made the limelight, especially when it comes to corruption.
Well, no, because they've won, right? So
yes,
there's no need
exactly.
to talk about it.
So this kind of stuff hasn't been. But, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens in the new government and where they're going to actually take action on these situations and how much evidence is actually required.
One of the questions that came up in this was pretty interesting. And because basically what the chief said was that he kind of hadn't recognized it as bribery. Like there was no recognition on his part that that money was meant for that. You know, it's just, okay, you want to give me money. He said he used it then to shop for rice to distribute to his villages. I didn't know such money was bad. Those were his exact words.
And I think that is also a conversation that needs to be had. And not just at that level as well. I mean, I think it's become so endemic to our way of life and the way we do things that a lot of the time we have to question whether or not, is this bribery or is this just the cost of doing business or is this just part of how things work in this country?
And you might not want to take that step back when somebody is just giving you much needed money.
All right. We're going to be speaking to the acting chairperson of Bursay 2.0 in just a little bit. But first, Betty Davis Eyes after these messages on BFM 89.9. Kim Carnes, Betty Davis Eyes on BFM 89.9, 6:49 in the evening. We've been talking about graft in particular, a case of corruption that was told to the elections court, bribery in the Cameron Highlands bribery in Cameron Highlands during the last general election. We're now going to cross over to Cheryl Aman, the acting chairperson of Bursay 2.0. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Cheryl. Now, stories like this have circulated over the years. Is this the first time we've seen a statement like this being made in court? Is that why this is so significant?
Yes, we've heard so many stories of this. We have heard so many stories on orang asli, duit rokok, duit kopi, traveling announcers, and so on. And even for Cameron, this is not the first time. In 2013, the Pemantau project actually recorded in the People's Tribunals a case whereby a voter testified he received some money from the Vian Kennedy through the village head. Unfortunately, many of these cases don't get to court due to technical grounds and filing issues. And much worse, petitioners are then required to pay the costs to the respondents. That's why when cases like this get to court, then it's very significant. I mean, given the fact that there are 52 witnesses, and I think the petitioner would believe that they have a strong case to prove that they are right in filing.
We were discussing earlier that the village head had testified that he didn't know at the time that the money was a form of bribery. Is this a common occurrence where they don't know that it's a bribe?
That's the thing. It's very saddening because it just goes to show that bribery, handouts, inducement in the form of money is common practice and have been so much part of our election landscape. Especially to targeted groups in dire need of monetary assistance. And it's really degrading if it becomes a culture. And I think it is a culture where voters have come to expect handouts from candidates. We have so many cases in our G14 Pemantau report. Bribery and vote buying, 46 cases. Treating and gifts, 196 cases. Undue government handouts and inducements, 150 cases. I mean, it just goes to show that there's no abatement of these cases from G13. And I think there's a lot that needs to be done in terms of voter education, in terms of enforcement and ownership of all these offences.
So just from your work of monitoring the elections over the years, what has been the most interesting iterations of pre-election gifts that you've seen?
Well, they can be quite creative about it, you know. Everything from now, from sayur, pau, from minyak hitam. But the very significant ones that come out from the rest are systematic giving out of money. Like in G13, we have a report on systematic handouts of money through village security, even development committees, the JJKs of every village, the ketua-tuai during the campaign period. So systematic give-outs of money are the one that's pretty alarming. You know, when you see, like in GE14, for example, we had a case in Kalabakan where people queued in the UMNO office of Kalabakan to receive travel allowances. And this is not uncommon. We also see that in for example, the Sungai Besar by-election. So the fact that it's systematic, it's really bad as it is because it's definitely an offence.
So what would happen if it were proven that these candidates who are now in office were actually bribing voters?
Well, under Section 32 of the Election Offences Act, but it's really for the election judge to decide. I mean, if proven and found guilty, then under the Section 32 of the Election Offences Act, 32C, which states that a corrupt practice or illegal practice was committed in connection with the election by the candidate or with his knowledge or consent or by any agent of the candidate. I believe under this section will result in the election being declared void. So a re-election for that case. Yeah, I mean, if it's found guilty.
Cheryl, thank you so much for that information. That was Cheryl Aman, acting chairperson of Bursa 2.0. You know what? I'm just going to ask you, tell us your fun stories, lah, that you've heard about electioneering nonsense that has taken place. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us on 018-789-8899. I'm sure you've got stories. I'm sure you've witnessed it.
I have a story. My grandma back in Bentong has definitely accepted money from BN reps and then gone on to vote for, in her words, the rocket. So there you go. From my family.
I have never been offered money. I'm just saying. I'm here.
You're ready in the Klang Valley to make a difference.
Yes, exactly. All right, we've got some Vampire Weekend coming your way, A-Punk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.